And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi. So it's going to be forever, or it's going to go down in flames. You can tell me when it's over, if the high was worth the pain.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and welcome to today's show. Hey, Gismondi Online is going to release a big video next week with Michael Barche. Many of you know him from Barche Brothers in the South Okanagan, Oliver region. Flavor, texture, and time will be the subject of this video, and we're going to explore wines going back almost 20 years. You won't want to miss that. It's free if you sign up at Gismondi Online. You've got time to do it until next week. This weekend in the Vancouver Sun, we're talking about Piedmont, a famous Italian region. By the way, as you know, Italy is the theme region at next year's International Wine Festival here in Vancouver. So if you want to brush up on Nebbiolo, Barbaresco, Barbera d'Asti, this is a column for you to read. And there's an interesting story about Arnace. Did you know that the wine Arnace was named after people in the region who were growing up and were difficult to deal with? They were called Arnace in the dialect of the Piedmontese. So there you go. Think of that the next time you have a glass of Arnace. Tickets, by the way, are going to go on sale November 15th. Now, on the show today, Miranda Holliday. She's the co-owner of Elephant Island Orchard Wines. We go back to visit her, a midsummer visit on the beautiful Naramata Bench. Francois Lertan, he's the owner of Domaine Francois Lertan Wines. We're going to talk about French wines today with Francois. Kimberly Hundermark joins us. She's the general manager of the Okanagan Wine Festivals for an update on what's happening there this fall and winter. But up next, Stephen Lane from Mount Bushry Estate Winery joins us to talk about his original vines wine tier. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. Join other small businesses on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales@watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with great acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi with 2 Minutes in the Cowichan, and my guest is Kenzie Knight from Tourism Cowichan. Kenzie, on the show, we talk a lot about the wineries of the Cowichan, and we enjoy talking about the rich culture of the area, in particular about the local Indigenous culture. What can you tell us more about the First Nations?
Yeah, it's really important to acknowledge that Cowichan is home to 10 Indigenous communities. It's located on the traditional territories of the Kowatsin, Malahat, Subasit, Halalt, Penelakit, Stamenis, Lyakson, Pakwichin, Didi-Dot, and Patchy-Dat peoples.
That is amazing, and it's good to know that the arts and culture continue to be active in the Cowichan Valley.
Yeah, definitely. First Nations culture has always been and will remain a big part of Cowichan's fabric. The famous Cowichan sweaters can be found throughout the region, which feature Coast Salish designs. Cowichan also features a variety of other highly talented artists, painters, potters, sculptors, wood carvers, jewelers, glassblowers. You can see their work throughout home studios and art galleries.
And beyond the arts and culture, Cowichan also is a popular destination for outdoor adventures.
Absolutely. Cowichan is a huge hiking and mountain biking destination with a large network of trails, everything from beginner-friendly to extreme terrain. The region's warm climate makes it one of the only regions in BC that has year-round mountain biking. So there are over 170 trails covering 180 kilometers.
And no worry about being exhausted. We can do some water activities after the big mountain climb.
Yeah, Cowichan features oceans, rivers, and lakes, so there's easy access to water activities. You can go paddling, sailing, fishing, swimming, even whitewater kayaking. Far west in the region lies Nitnat Lake, which is an internationally acclaimed destination for windsurfing and kiteboarding.
Fantastic opportunity to rediscover Indigenous culture and all the activities of the Cowichan has to offer. Kenzie, an absolute pleasure learning about this today.
You're most welcome.
Make your plan to visit the Cowichan at tourismcowichan.com. Till the next time, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Turn it up, it's your favorite song. Dance, dance, dance to the distortion. Turn it up, keep it on repeat.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to the show today. Shout out to Victoria and South Vancouver Island and all 25 other cities in total listening across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our next guest is Stephen Lane. He's the cultural attaché at Mount Bushry Estate Winery. Stephen, how are you?
I am feeling very cultural today, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the show. Fun to catch up. We could talk about what a miserable season it was, but we're not going to. We're going to talk about fun stuff, starting with the original vine series. So let's talk a bit about tiers and wines, and why are there tiers, and what's the original vines tiers all about?
Well, I think as far as tiers in general, Anthony, I mean, you know, this is going to sound cliche, but we have, you know, over 200 acres of estate vines that we're lucky to farm.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's some, you know, wines that we need for every day, and there's some blocks, you know, from those estates that are really special and that we've been able to kind of discover in the last 7 or 8 years as we've kind of developed the renaissance of Mount Bushry. I mean, a lot of people don't know Mount Bushry has plantings going back to 1968, as early as that. We have continually farmed vines planted as far back as 72. So we've really been able to discover, you know, in this time that we've kind of got our hands around these estate vineyards, where these really, really unique, special blocks, some of the older plantings in the country, really, where they are, how they perform. And the original vines is really about highlighting those individual blocks.
Yeah, and actually, people may not also know that we're talking about like Okanagan Falls, Golden Mile Bench, the Similkameen Valley, so you're all over the place.
That's exactly right. So the original vine series for us was also kind of a way to highlight not only our different estate vineyards, but as a consumer, it's kind of a way to discover these different microclimates, these different sub-GIs, these different terroirs throughout the Okanagan and Similkameen Valleys.
Yeah. So you have I could, you know, quickly run through and say there's a Cabernet, a Gewurz, a Chardonnay, a Semillon, a PTG.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite in that mix? Or what? I know these are the old vines. Oh, and a Cabernet Franc as well. It's a pretty nice mix.
There's a Cabernet Franc Merlot from Okanagan Falls. There's a Cabernet Sauvignon from the Similkameen. The Semillon, we have the oldest Semillon vines in Canada that we can find on record. They're planted in 1990 in Okanagan Falls. So that's really, you know, kind of a darling of our portfolio. It's, you know, not always the most well-known grape as far as, you know, the consumers go, but it's something we really love highlighting as well.
You guys are big on marketing, so how do you sell Semillon? I mean, I know it's old, but and by the way, we're talking with Stephen Lane. He's involved in sales and marketing and the cultural attaché at Mount Bushry Estate Winery.
Well, you know, I think, Anthony, we're always looking to combine a sense of humor with as much honest and straightforward information as we can deliver. So, you know, we have different tiers. We have obviously our modest tier has much more of a tongue-in-cheek kind of vibe, but we will make references that are kind of jokey to us, but also kind of give the customer a clue as to the heritage of, let's say, you know, we have a Sauvignon Blanc Semillon blend called Le Grave Robber. Obviously, that's a reference to Bordeaux and the Le Grave region. So that's kind of an entry point that might sound a little bit goofy or silly, but there is a punch of information behind it for the curious imbiber. With Semillon in the original vine series, for us, it's really just about packaging it and telling that story about the original plantings of Mount Bushry and kind of what we have to offer from a estate vineyard perspective.
Yeah. Well, I love that we're pursuing Semillon. Both Semillon and Sauvignon are doing really well in BC. And when I say that, I mean, like, in the bottle, these wines are over, you know, they're over delivering, no matter which winery's involved. And it looks like, you know, this is a keeper, a long-term keeper for the Valley. And it's taken quite a while, to get to that point. But I want to talk a little bit. So, first of all, you can buy these wines individually. You have them up in a set. You can buy the set at the winery, and you're also going to have it for sale at Save-On Foods over the next couple months.
That's correct. So we've got all six current releases of the original vines collection in a wooden box set. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift. We have them available at the winery. We've also released a small allocation to them for Save-On Foods because they're great partners to us, and they've got a great, you know, I love even just walking through a Save-On Foods you know, just to kind of see what's going on in the BC wine industry. It's such a great place for us to discover new wines. And so we're very lucky to have them as partners and very happy we could share this kind of really special collection with them for the holidays.
It reminds me a little bit of the Penfolds collection, a release like this. It spans four different vintages in the Okanagan in this one single release. So there's something for everybody from 2018 all the way through to 2022. So that's a unique thing. It's kind of fun to have something like that in the marketplace.
Right. It's not a true horizontal or vertical, but it's kind of a vertizontal of these different varieties, these different terroirs, and these different vintages, you know. But all the important thing to focus on is that, you know, with our reserve tier, it's really about winemaking. It's about, you know, getting the perfect, you know, winemaking blend. With these wines, it's really a story of farming. We know which blocks are going to deliver these wines. And if you really want to taste, you know, what, you know, a certain, you know, 30-plus-year-old vine, you know, produces from one single site in British Columbia, this is the collection to do it.
We're speaking with Stephen Lane. He's from Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Stephen, you just said 30 plus. So how do you sell wine to a 30 plus year old and maybe somebody like me that's, you know, crawling into his 70th year?
You don't have to say it.
No,
I mean, I think, you know, the vines that we're farming here are, I think, you know, in some cases are older than the potential kind of, you know, budding wine connoisseur. You know,
the
rule for the original vine series is that every block that we farm has to be planted before the year 2000. So really, in our minds, it's, again, highlighting those special blocks that we have that have been around for a long time and giving a voice to them. It also, you know, it's well known in the industry, but maybe the consumer isn't aware. But, you know, as a vine kind of reaches that, you know, 20 to 30 year lifespan, you know, you start to see, you know, greater concentration in the fruits, lower yields, which really, you know, ultimately is supposed to result in a, in a more special, more complex, more cellar-worthy wine. But as far as the youth, you know, Anthony, your question, I think, you know, simple things with marketing. I mean, I were of the belief that, you know, if you can get your business together to make a good wine, it deserves a package. I mean, I think the labels of these wines are beautiful. You know, we've had this custom artwork produced based on the kind of, you know, look of an old gnarly vine. We've hand waxed the tops of the bottles, which, you know, some people kind of think is, you know, maybe a marketing ploy, but for us, it looks beautiful. And a consumer, we got to see it through the eyes of the consumer. To a consumer, that looks beautiful. So if you have a wine that you are confident in, you know, I don't see it as a dirty thing to package it in a way that you feel is appealing as well.
Gee, imagine concentrating on the consumer. What a great idea.
What a concept,
I love it.
Right?
What a concept. I don't want to run out of time. We got about a minute and a half. Now, what's going on at Mount Boucherie? The restaurant open? Are you still open? Are you operating through the holidays? Give us a quick update.
Yep, we are fully open. Our restaurant, The Modest Butcher, would be open in 2020. We've got a number of promotions going on there. We do a daily happy hour from 2 to 5 p.m. We've got a couple of great promotions. We just introduced a Wine Down Wednesday promotion.
I like
so
that.
We've got select bottles of local and international wine at 50% off on Wednesdays. We are all systems go here. It's been a great fall as far as tourism and kind of that recovery effort from the fire season. Obviously, we don't need to go too deep into that, but we've been really overjoyed and kind of impressed by the way the locals have come out to support us and by the just Canadians who have, you know, kind of opted for, you know, fall winery travel. It's been really positive.
That's fantastic. And the harvest, I assume you're complete or almost complete. The harvest is, and it wasn't a big one, but it's been a quick one.
Yeah, we completed, we've We brought all the fruit in as of last week.
Okay.
So definitely one of the earlier ones on record. It does remind me a little bit of 21. 21 was my first harvest with my hands dirty. And I remember it was certainly quite early by all standards. And this year seemed that we had such consistent weather throughout the year. A lot of heat, a lot of warmth, very little precipitation. So small yields, obviously light fruit due to some of the winter events, but healthy quality and definitely an earlier one for sure.
Great. Stephen, really great to catch up with you today. And to our listeners, you can go to mountbushery.com and check out all of the original vine wines that are on sale, and you can get some background on all of the different varietals that will be sold. And of course, check out the restaurant. You guys are wide open. You'll be open year-round up there, so people can get up there and support BC Wine and try some Mount Bushery wines. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Anthony. We appreciate it.
Great talking to you, Stephen Lane, cultural attaché, Mount Bushery Estate Winery. Still ahead, Francois Lertan. He's the owner of Domaine Francois Lertan. We're going to talk to him about French wines coming up next on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Hey, by the way, and we're in 25 cities across British Columbia and on demand on all the major podcast platforms. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. A place to relax, take your time, and enjoy the beautiful autumn weather and world-class wine and culinary scene. With over 90 wineries within a 20-minute drive, along with distilleries and cideries, 8 local craft breweries, and a fantastic variety of locally sourced restaurants, Penticton is the perfect destination for a peaceful fall getaway. For details on wineries, tours, tasting room, and restaurant hours, and for more trip inspiration, head to visitpenticton.com.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Estates. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wines.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Dance the night away. My heart could be burning, but you won't see it on my face. Watch me dance the night away.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to the show. And a shout-out to Penticton and all 25 other cities in total listening across the province on the BC Food and Wine Network. Our next guest is Francois Lertan. He's the owner of Domaine Francois Lertan, perhaps one of the most famous Frenchmen in the world making wine. Francois, fantastic to have you on the show. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you to have invited me, and nice to be there.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about where you're working and all that. Where are you today? I have no idea where you are today.
Today, I am in Charleston, in the southern part of the United States, on the East Coast.
Okay. Well, Francois, really great to catch up with you. You've had a fantastic life in wine, and you've done so many things. But let's just talk about the Francois Lertan wines today. You're working in France, Spain, Argentina, Chile. Does that keep you pretty much busy all the time?
Yes, that keeps me busy all the time. A lot of traveling. and myself, I want to be sure that I produce a good wine. I want to be sure that I produce good grapes.
Yeah.
So I oblige all my team to follow to let me test all the berries before to harvest them. So that obliged me to be in my April March for the harvest in South America, and to be in Europe September, mainly in September, to taste all the berries.
Yeah, you're very big on organic growing, biodynamics. You care a lot about the vineyards. You grew up in a society that was focused on terroir, but things have changed in the vineyard, and you've been one of those people driving it. Can you tell us about the importance of why you want to grow organically today?
Myself, I'm born in the vineyards, and I have been one of the first, thanks to my father, to develop the grafting of the vineyard and to develop new varieties and things in Bordeaux. But the myself traveling everywhere in the world, I was totally interested by all the this world of organic and especially biodynamic. I had difficulties to believe in what was the biodynamic at the start. Now I am much more convinced. And I think there were a problem of mentalities that I've seen, especially in Bordeaux, people very extremely reluctant to go back to the tradition, to what they were doing 100 mm-hmm. years ago. And we have had, it has been almost a work of a generation to convince people to go back to the tradition and to go back to something more natural.
Our guest is François Lurton. He's the owner of Domaines François Lurton. What do you think when people talk to you, and I want to talk about a couple wines here, when you're making a wine in the Uco Valley in Argentina, Chacayas, and you're also in Colchagua making the Clos de la Lalle from Araucano, these places have their own terroir, and they're making excellent wine. Do you compare them to the great wines of Bordeaux now, or do you think they're different or the same, or how do you see these wines?
No, myself, what I love in the wine world is the diversity. So you never eat the same thing every day. So why to taste the same thing? So people who say, I love Margaux, I drink only Margaux, it must be extremely boring in your life.
Yeah.
And to drink only boring, only Bordeaux or only Margaux, if it is good. Myself, I try to develop the diversity and to show the differences in every places. So I don't travel with the recipe. I hate to make the wine the same way everywhere. I try to understand what the people they do in every countries and to develop a true expression of the variety in this country. I produce Sauvignon Blanc, for example, in many countries, and none of these Sauvignon Blanc are similar. They all have their own identity. And that is is my target, my intention, what I want to do and to develop that.
Well, I think when I first started following you, one of the things that impressed me most was in a very simple way, the cleanliness of your wines and the precision of your wines. And I thought, well, if someone can make a clean wine in an area where no one else is, then it must be possible for a lot of other people to do that. And I want to shift that conversation now to quite a famous label for you, Le Fumé Blanche. You have made an orange Sauvignon Blanc, which just shocks me. But the wine is fantastic. So tell me, why are you making an orange wine now?
And the first thing, myself, I was... I'm born in the region of white wine of Bordeaux, so I have been all my life managed by the acidity. You know, I am an acidity lover. The acidity is the backbone of the wine. So if you find my wine fresh, fruity, and clean, it's thanks to the control of the acidity. And the second thing, to make the body around this structure, which is the acidity, you must have tannins, you must have alcohol. And for that, the best is to macerate the skin and the juice. So my father already was doing it. He teaches my brother and myself also this way of doing it. We were always putting a little bit of macerated white wine with skin in our blend. And today we we have decided to separate this maceration, and to, still we put in our blend of dry wines, traditional, a little bit of orange wines.
Yeah.
But we have decided to make a true orange wines. But the Fumée Blanche is not a true orange wine. So the true orange wines macerate much more time. It's a more what we call a skin contact, what we have in the Fumée Blanche.
Right.
It's because we stop maceration after fermentation. And, we are to obtain a wine which is in between, a little bit between the world of the orange wines and the classic dry whites, to have something which is fruity but structured at the same time.
Yeah. It's really a delicious wine, Francois. I'm quite impressed with it, and I think people are going to really like what they see when they taste it. Let's talk about UCO, because you've had a long history in Argentina. Argentina is finally sort of finding its feet, you know, internationally at a higher level. You're making a great wine down there, Chacayas. What's so special about Mendoza and the UCO?
Yeah, when I have arrived in Mendoza, I have started to sell some wine, especially. I have been extremely successful thanks to in your region, somebody named Pierre Doise, who were selling a lot of my wine, select wine in your region.
Yeah.
And thanks to him, I've sold a lot of wine to Canada and decided to build my own winery. Building my own winery, I decided to buy in a region which was a desert, which was the center of the Valle de Uco. And after me has arrived other producers. And slowly by slowly is the most crowded part of Mendoza and the better known part of Mendoza today for high quality vineyards. And the whole producers have asked me if I could give them back the name that I had registered for my top wine, which is the name of the area, named Los Chacayes. And I had registered this name. Yeah, so we have decided with the INEV to create an IG, an indication geographical, allowing to everybody to put Los Chacayes and their label as a geographical indication. And myself, I am the only one who can use it as a brand.
Yeah.
A little bit like Chateau Margaux in Margaux appellation.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I love the wine. This wine, L'Esprit de Chacayes 2022, is available in Vancouver now, $43.99. And it's a wine that I would say it probably lives 10 to 15 years, no problem in the bottle.
Sure. It's thanks to this variety, the Malbec, which is the very interesting variety, especially in Argentina, will give us wines which have an incredible capacity of aging.
By the way, I'm speaking with Francois Lertan. I want to talk a little bit about Chile, and maybe how hard is it for you to understand how a country like Chile can establish itself, because it's still fighting to establish itself at a much higher level in the world of wine. But you've made a fantastic wine in Colchagua. What about Araucano and what you're doing down there in the Colchagua Valley?
In the Colchagua Valley, I've been a member of the association of the producers there. I've tried to transform this association in a green valley, but I did not succeed. But there is a lot of green producers. Chile is a paradise for green producers. And I've been the first in biodynamy. Today we are 13 Chileans certified in a biodynamic, and we are quite a dynamic organization, organic and biodynamic, and in general, Chile does not have the disease that we have in Argentina and a lot of in Europe, and it's much easier to produce organic wines.
Yeah.
And myself, I have established on the cooler part of the Valle de Colchagua, which is what we call the Colchagua Coast. Yeah, where we can produce very interesting whites and also some Pinot Noir, because Colchagua is quite a warm area where they have the Apalta Valley, Colchagua is quite warm in general and hot even. But us, we are in much cooler part with a lot of maritime influence.
Well, the time goes by so fast, Francois, but it was so great to have a quick chat with you today about these wines. We'll be putting the information out for our readers. Will we see you in Canada sometime soon?
Yes, yes, I try to come back. Additionally, I am a mountain lover and a ski lover, so I try to come back to take profit of your best slopes.
Right on. Well, Francois, thanks so much for your time. I know you're busy. The harvest is on still in the Northern Hemisphere, and we wish you luck with that. And maybe we'll catch up with you later in the year down in South America.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for your call.
Thanks so much, Francois Lertan. We're going to put up these wines on our website and on social media for all of you to check out. And I rarely recommend you check out this new orange wine, Les Fumées Blanches. You're listening to the BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Penticton, a perfect place for a romantic escape this fall. Stop in for a visit to one of almost 100 area wineries. Enjoy the quieter time of year with an intimate wine tasting for two, sample some Okanagan vintages, and take in the beautiful colors of fall. Dine out and experience delicious, locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the ideal destination for an autumn getaway with that special someone. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on vacation packages and upcoming events. Go to visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Erin Credba. She's the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Erin, Langley's home to a variety of sports teams, and some are just starting their season.
That's right, Anthony. Hockey has started in Langley, and we have four different hockey teams that offer the opportunity to enjoy a game.
Four hockey teams. Can you explain a bit about the differences between them?
Of course. Perhaps the most well-known team is the Vancouver Giants, who play in the Western Hockey League, and home games are played at the Langley Events Center.
Okay, that leaves three more teams. What about them?
Correct. We have the Langley Rivermen, Langley Trappers, and Aldergrove Kodiaks, who play at the Junior A hockey level. Now, while they are at a different level of hockey than the WHL, these games are an equally fun way to spend an evening in Langley.
Well, it sounds like a great way for hockey fans in BC to cheer on the home team while they're visiting Langley at the same time.
It is a great idea, and there are plenty of accommodation options, and visitors can spend some time beyond the rink exploring Langley shops, restaurants, wineries, craft breweries, and more.
What a fun way to spend a few days taking in the best of Langley.
Yes, Fort Langley is full of locally owned boutique shops and local farm shops.
And I imagine the restaurant options are equally diverse.
Yes, there are fine dining options like Bacchus Bistro at Chabertin Estate Winery or Saba Bistro, plus cozy cafes and coffee shops and local favorites like Haven Restaurant or the Barley Merchant. And those are great stops before you catch a game.
And as always, there's complete details for these events on your website.
That's right.
Erin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest is Kimberly Hundermark. She's the general manager of the reimagined Okanagan Wine Festival. She joins us today to talk about the upcoming festival, which is only a week away. Kimberly, how are you?
I'm great, Tony. How are you?
I'm really well. I'm interested for the quick backstory on the festival. You changed the time of year, and it looks like you're going to win out with this. I kind of like the idea. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, we're all about our wine industry, and when you put a large event right in the middle of crush, you don't make a lot of friends.
No, that's true.
So we decided to move it out of harvest a little bit, enabling our winemakers and, you know, our wonderful industry to join us for the festivities.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. So let's talk about this year. How is it set up? Like, is valley-wide or north-south? What is the plan? How are you going to roll it out?
Well, because the industry has grown so much over the last few years, we have now divided it into Kelowna and North Kelowna, or sorry, North Okanagan, and then down to South Okanagan. So we actually, basically each weekend, we're activating in the north and in the south. So
that's great.
It gives everybody an opportunity to attend, and they're not having to travel far. And again, they can experience wineries from north and south. So that's really important to us, is to showcase all those partners.
Yeah. How many wineries will take part this year, you know, play a role in it?
Well, we have 87 members, but as far as the venues themselves, the Penticton event, we're at 31 partners, and Manteo and Kelowna, we're a little limited with space, so we only have room for 20 partners, but those spaces are all full.
Yeah, that's great. Our guest is Kimberly Hundermark. She's the GM of the Okanagan Wine Festivals. Kimberly, what? Let's talk a bit about the passport and how that'll work, and does it matter if I'm in the north or the south, or are they separate, or how does that work?
Well, actually, our partners in the north weren't able to gather together to put together an offering that would work. So we're only hosting it in the south, but we're doing two different offerings in the south. One is Summerland Penticton Naramata, and the other is OK Falls, Oliver, and Assayas.
Okay, so you got them all covered off. All right, so let's talk about some of the signature events or the big events. What's going to happen on Friday, October 27th?
So October 27th, we're at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center, and as I mentioned before, 31 of our partners. So we'll be showcasing close to 90 wines, plus we'll have six culinary stations for small bites. Definitely a grazing event, very casual, very interactive and engaging. And then we're bringing a DJ in to, you know, make it a little more of a party atmosphere. About 300 guests, and it's just going to be a really fun night. But we're also leading out that night with a new educational seminar called Grape Talks, which I'm sure we'll chat about. Yeah. So we're pretty excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Who's talking about grapes?
We actually have nobody at this time of year. Come on. We have Kevin Curtis. He's a great personality here in the South Okanagan, and Kevin is going to be leading a discussion about you planted what. So it's just some of those, you know, funky varietals that some of our vineyards are planted, and winemakers are having a great deal of fun with those. So we're going to be showcasing some really cool varietals. Don't know entirely what he has in store for us, but I know, and knowing Kevin, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. And the Okanagan Wine Festivals is a year-round kind of organization now. You have different times. You also are kicking off the Winter Wine Festival in November.
Yes, we actually, because we work with a lot of our destination organizations now, we do events to support what they're doing in market outside of our signature festival. So in November, we're working with Destination Assayas for an event called the Fire and Ice Carnival, and that's Assayas and Oliver. That's going to be a lot of fun. They did it last year, and it was really well received. So this year, we're going to bring our partners to the table and make it a really fun event. And then the beginning of December, we're back up at Big White for the Big Reds at Big White Festival. And that's going into, I believe it's 13 years, and that's a highly anticipated event. So, again, the festival goes to support with our winery partners and allowing them to have a really cool, fun weekend up at the mountain. And then we will head into the Winter Wine Festival the last two weekends in January. So winter is busy now. We're really trying to develop that shoulder season and give people a reason to travel back to beautiful Okanagan.
Yeah. And of course, I imagine that it's easier to get accommodations at this time of the year as well for people that are planning on going up there.
Absolutely, and great deals with our accommodators, but also for travel with some of our airlines as well that are flying into Kelowna and into Penticton.
Well, that sounds good. I'm excited to. I really think the change will make a big difference because it's always great to actually meet the people who make the wine or, you know, mostly involved in the process of growing the grapes or making the wine. That makes a big difference to wine consumers, and I think that will be a big plus for everybody involved.
I think it's really important that people meet the makers, that they connect with those storytellers and that sense of place. And, you know, our beautiful landscapes here, they really are something year-round. And we want to make sure that we're sharing that. And also a time of year where, you know, you can take your time and enjoy yourself a little bit more. And as you said, it's not quite as expensive to travel here off peak season, right? So
no.
Let's get people down here, and our wineries are open and the wines are being poured, and you know, we're welcoming everybody to come join us.
Yeah, and I'm also pretty sure that it'll be easier to get a restaurant reservation too in the evening because there just won't be thousands and thousands of people in the valley. So that's a good plus too for people going up.
Yeah, and the roads are a little less traveled at that time of year too. So if you are coming in on the highways, you know, you're not as likely to be running into traffic, and it's just, again, it's a little more chill time of year to come, and literally and figuratively time of year to come. And you can ski. I mean, we're an hour from the hills, and there's a number of hills. There's Destination Silver Star, Big White, Apex, Mount Baldy. Like, I mean, the list goes on. Silver Star. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just right in the middle of everything that's exciting.
Yeah. Well, it's been a tough year in the Okanagan, but I would suggest to people that when they show up at these festivals at this time, at this moment in time, there's going to be a lot of 2020 reds around in the market. One of the finest years ever in British Columbia. The 22 crop was quite large, and there will be a lot of that around. So although there's a lot of stories about shortages and blah, 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 there's actually a lot of interesting wine in the market at this moment, and this would be the time to jump on it. So it's a good idea. Kimberly, where can people get more information about all of the festival events?
And they can just check it out on our website at thewinefestivals.com. Follow us on Instagram at Okanagan Wine Festival, or obviously Facebook.
Yeah. Okay. Really great to catch up with you today and to get some info on this festival and upcoming events. And we wish you well. And, well, the harvest is over, so let's get at it. Time to drink.
Yeah, and we hope to see you down here in Great Okanagan.
Right on. Thank you, Kimberly.
Thanks, Anthony. Have a great day.
You too. That was Kimberly Hundermark. She's the general manager of Okanagan Wine Festivals. Now, still to come, we return to the Naramata Bench for a conversation we had earlier this year with Miranda Holliday of the delightful Elephant Island Winery. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi. We'll be right back.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, the hub of the South Okanagan. A perfect place for a BC road trip this fall. Enjoy outdoor adventures and reward yourself after a day of activities with a visit to one of over 80 area wineries, cideries, and distilleries, or 8 craft breweries. Experience fantastic locally sourced restaurants, too. It's the perfect destination for a fall getaway with gorgeous changing colors and menus. Before you go, make sure to check the website for information on wine tours, winery events, and help planning your trip. Go to visitpenticton.com.
A ring-a-ding-ding. Time for happy hour at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Featuring wine by the glass starting at just $5, along with the most fabulous gourmet bites the West Side has ever seen. Daily from 2 to 5 p.m. Plus, join us for Tommy and Tannen Tuesdays. Order a giant tomahawk ribeye and get your first bottle of Mount Boucherie Reserve Merlot for just $5. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See you today.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Discover award-winning wines in the stunning Okanagan Valley at Tinhorn Creek Winery, the ultimate destination for wine lovers. Enjoy relaxed tasting experiences featuring premium wines sourced from the Golden Mile, or embark on a one-of-a-kind sensory adventure with a black glass blind tasting. And for delicious Mediterranean-inspired cuisine made with locally sourced ingredients, Mirador Restaurant is waiting. Good food, great wine, unforgettable memories. Tinhorn Creek Winery. Visit tinhorn.com.
People always ask us, how do you taste? What we don't do is taste one wine in isolation. We choose a grape or a style of wine, then we taste a number of samples from around the world, so we're constantly benchmarking the quality of, say, BC Chardonnay versus Burgundy, the Sonoma Coast, Argentina, or New Zealand. That way we get a better picture of where that wine sits globally, and our readers often benefit from getting more wine for less money. I'm Anthony Gismondi. Why not compare wines with us at GismondiOnWine.com.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. We're back with a special shout out to Salmon Arm and Sicamous and all 25 cities across the province on our BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our next conversation takes us back to a gorgeous sunny afternoon we spent on the Naramata Bench. Man, is it beautiful there in the summer. Everything was in full bloom and the conversation was upbeat and optimistic. Here's our chat with Miranda Holliday, co-owner of Elephant Island Orchard Wines on the Naramata Bench. Miranda, great to see you. It's been a long time.
I say it's the COVID time lapse that
you went backwards though. You look like 20 years younger than the last time I met you. What are you doing up there on the bench?
Well, maybe it's, you know, it's this. It's the the beautiful fresh air and sunshine that keeps us healthy.
You've had a great project up there. Looking back now, how has it been? What you thought it would be, or more or less, or
You know, I mean, with everything, there's joys and heartbreaks, but on balance, we're incredibly blessed to live where we do. Mm-hmm. Naramata is a magical community, and I think that the industry that we have there has benefited from that community. It's so collegial and collaborative and oriented towards elevating what we're doing collectively, mm-hmm. that part of it, I think, just brings so much added benefit to living where we live, not just the wines we're making, but you know, it's the Friday night dinners at Manitou Beach that we're trying wine, but you know, it's the food that goes along with it and the people that you share it with. So it's kind of amazing to look back and think that we're now, I think, the second oldest original owners on the bench. Kettle Valley, Bob and Tim are the originals, but beyond that, makes Del and I feel a little old.
Well, you've had a great commitment to the land, and long before sustainability became a big thing here, but it's very big now on the bench. Mm-hmm. Seems like everybody has figured it out that we need to go that way.
Yeah, I think, I mean, maybe that's the lens that the world is looking through right now, but certainly, you know, for us, there was that realization when we first started that diversity is a good thing, and diversity when it comes to farming, I think, is also very, very important. I mean, the aspects of monoculture and single crop farming and the baggage that comes along with kind of that industrialized approach is, you know, when we're seeing the events that we have now, becoming more and more apparent how damaging that practice has been. So I mean, if you look at our model and kind of this commitment to preserving the agricultural diversity and heritage of what has happened in Naramata, it holds us in good stead because our eggs are never all in one basket. So.
And they're pretty good eggs.
Thank you.
Miranda Holliday is our guest co-owner of Elephant Island Orchard Wine. Speaking of diversity, I don't want to run out of time. You brought two crazy wines with you that are about as diverse as I think I've ever tasted at the same time.
Yes, we won't taste them at the same time, one after the other.
What shall we start with?
I would go with the Cab Franc first.
Okay, so this is a Cab Franc Merlot blend?
It is. So this is our Naysayer.
Yeah.
It's kind of our signature blend, and we had fun with this when we were naming it. It was a little bit of a nod to the people that said we didn't make real wine at Elephant Island. So we were saying, no, there's no naysayers here. We'll take that challenge and launched into Cab Franc. And it's held us in good stead. It does very well on our site. From the 2018 vintage. And we're holding on to our reds for a little longer. Thankfully, we have the benefit of other aspects of our portfolio that don't require that we launch, kick those reds out the door quite as early.
That is a lovely, savory, silky Cabernet Franc Merlot. Mm. And it's just sort of opening up now at 5 years of age. It's a lovely wine.
Mm.
You got to be happy with that.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, to me, the Cab Franc does so well, too, with our climate. I find that that's something that, I'm not saying more from the growing perspective, but from the consuming perspective, mm-hmm. I love it because it is a little bit lighter bodied. And those savory elements, to me, speaks to, like, the farmer's market, fresh vegetables on the barbecue, that kind of meal.
No, and the texture is fantastic.
Yeah, that silkiness is definitely something that has come through as a kind of a signature character.
Because it's so easy to make silky wines, right?
Oh, I'll say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Wow, that's a wonderful wine. And we're going to contrast that now with the second wine.
Yeah, so going back.
Which is back to the roots.
Back to the roots. So obviously our winery was founded on this commitment to agricultural diversity. Fruit wines were core to our portfolio and what we came out of the door with. Crab apples are kind of a really interesting crop. We grow them on our own property. And from what we know, they're the only commercially planted crab apple orchard in Canada. The crab apples originally were used as pollinators for other apple crops, and so we took some cuttings from farms in Summerland and planted a dedicated crop. The most incredible blossom you will ever see.
Really?
Crab apples. Oh, yeah. And this one is the flavor roller coaster. You know, it has that incredible contrast to velvety and sweet, and then the skin comes through on the finish and kind of...
And the acid.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. You think it's going to be a really sweet finish, and then the acid just pumps up there and cleans it right up.
Yeah.
And you're saying, I got to have another one. I got to have another taste of this.
It's fun. It's a fun
it's
wine.
It's crazy. I don't think, I'm really shocked by the quality of this wine.
Awesome.
Yeah. Where have I been?
Where have you been?
You know, you just go down these roads and you forget about crab apple wine. Wow.
You know what? Roads are better than rabbit holes.
Yeah.
So.
That's a great saying.
I'll take you.
I'm going to remember that one.
You can come down Naramata Road anytime and reacquaint yourself with crab apple wine. Mm. But it's great with, like, hot and spicy dishes. And then we have a lot of fun with our fruit wines. We've got a whole list of cocktail recipes that go with them. But they do have... they do have a place with food, and that was really one of the intentions that we set out with.
Is there something different about making the wines from fruit, from apples, say, versus grapes, or is it the same process in your mind?
The science, I mean, we've always stood by the fact that the science is the same. You know, I mean, you're converting the sugar to alcohol. And the intention is the same because you're looking to find a balance in terms of stylistic balance that suits what that fruit will give you.
Right.
I think more of the challenges that Dell's had are some of the physical challenges in dealing with the fruit. So adapting equipment to be able to deal with, you know, things that are super high in pectin or things that oxidize extremely quickly. Mm-hmm. As we reflected, it's been a long time. So we feel like we've kind of sorted those things out, but
yeah. So both of these wines. So how can people buy these wines? What's the simple way?
I mean, so get to the winery. Yeah, get to the winery. Absolutely, come visit Penticton Naramata. That's the best way to taste them in place, mm-hmm. And buy them. But of course, we like to take that feeling and ship it to you too. So you can buy them online.
Why not?
And then we also have distribution within British Columbia at private beer and wine stores.
Yeah. Now tell us about visiting. What's available? Do people come by and bother you all day long, or you just...
Oh, we welcome them,
you
yes.
don't lock up the doors
no,
and say
so,
we're not here?
Yeah, we're open daily now, 11 to 5, and we go 11 to 6 in the summer. Mm-hmm. But we have a beautiful tree-shaded courtyard, and I think people really kind of enjoy the experience. It is different because you're surrounded by a 5-acre cherry orchard, so... In the heat of the summer, it's kind of lovely because we have these huge oak trees that my grandmother had planted 50 years ago now.
Wow.
Oh, God. And then, of course, the cherry orchard, and it has a real magical quality to it that I pass back to her and her vision in creating the space, which wasn't a winery at the time, but, you know, she was an architect, and she loved creating magical places, which she did. So
people can come by and do that. They can hang out on the property?
Yeah, well, we have the courtyard, so we do seated tastings in the courtyard, and they're very relaxed, and we like to make sure that people feel like they're informed and but welcomed, right? So ultimately, it's a really relaxed vibe to come by and sit and taste. We have a few events where we'll have food trucks or specialty offerings on hand.
Sure.
And in the shoulder season, too, picnics are welcome.
Picnics. Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, elephantislandwine.com. People can go to that site and check everything out and look at the wines and the pricing availability and getting them shipped out or whatever. And then if you visit Elephant Island, I'm sure that you have a fountain of information about what's going on the bench and where people can go to have a nibble or dinner, or you should go here or try that out, or because there's so much here to discover.
There is. I mean, Naramata has kind of gone through this renaissance of late in terms of food and wine offerings. The inn is doing beautiful things. And then there's a few of the wineries on the drive out now have some interesting offerings as well. And you know, just the Naramata store too has
the Naramata store is pretty cool.
They've upped their game, and they have of course we have some connections there with Cynthia and David having bought into it, and Mike and Carol from Beaches are running it. So you know, that's the place to make a picnic and head to the beach and grab your wine. And
they have a nice wine selection there. They've even brought some imported wines in, which I think is important to have both
100%.
To have people to, you know, so that they can gauge what's going on.
Yeah, where we fit and what we look like in comparison to these other regions. And in fact, it's
hilarious.
We look
pretty good, by the way. You know.
Well, that's the endorsement we need.
Well, it's been a massive change.
Yeah.
Really, in the last sort of 5 to 7 years, I can honestly say the quality has really jumped up to what people were talking about 20 years ago, but wasn't. Now it is that level.
You think about that within the context of the history of this region is so small. It's actually kind of impressive.
Oh, yeah. It's a short period of time, a lot of learning and a lot of input. And, well, folks, jump in the car. Get up to Penticton and head for the bench. And
get on the road, not the rabbit hole.
Yeah, get on the road. Don't go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Get off the internet.
That's right.
Yeah.
Unless you're listening to this show, in which case that's totally great.
Okay, we'll let them do that.
Yeah.
Miranda, it's so great to see you.
Yeah, awesome.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Miranda Holliday, co-owner of Elephant Island Orchard Wines on the Naramata Bench. We were there in the summertime, but this time of year is a great time to visit the area. Penticton still has plenty to offer, and the wineries on the Naramata Bench are all still open. Matter of fact, we just checked the website for Elephant Island, and their hours through October 29th are Wednesday to Friday from 12 to 4 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. They are closed Monday and Tuesday. That's it for this week's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor Sherry Caleb, and director of operations, Stu Ferguson. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi, wishing you a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.